Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, even though some of you may not have children around you, I think if you know of any parents that have children, if you have grandchildren, you need to be aware of my guest's program for learning math, multiply with me, and also with spelling. And this is so exciting to me because it incorporates so many factors that makes learning a joy for a child and gets them started young. My guest today is Susie Kuntz. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen material as wonderful as yours for youngsters for math and spelling in I don't know how long. And when I got your material, I thought, okay, this is pretty good, and I went through the book. But I'll tell you, your DVD that you've got and the rest of the material you had sent me is amazing. Now, I want my audience to know that you're an actuary, an author, you're an educational consultant, and you're the founder of Math and Movement Program. You speak all over the country. You are the mother of four daughters, and you have a pretty big objective, and that is to making education in math and spelling an absolute joy for kids. But they're doing it at an early age. And I think this is awesome. So many times they wait. And I think kids are like sponges that before, right. By the time they're five, I mean, they soak up anything and everything. And what I'm seeing you doing with the kids on the DVD is just marvelous. How did you get this inspiration? What caused you to decide that you were going to make math fun and teachers would have just as much fun working with it?
Well, it really started out with my own experience. Even though I became an actuary, and I don't know if you know that an actuary is someone that works often in an insurance company and does a lot of advanced math like risk theory and survival models, mm-hmm. and pretty hard stuff. Even though I was able to do that, and then I wrote some books for actuaries in advanced math, my mom teases me and says, I can read the introduction.
but forget the rest of the stuff. Okay, I got it.
I started out as a math flunky. I was horrible at math. All through school, I was about the worst math student that there could be. It never made sense. I was clueless. And here's a little story. When I was in fifth grade, the teacher was reading the names of the children who had passed fifth grade, and I sat there shaking and thinking, I didn't pass, because I really didn't think that I could pass. How could I pass if I couldn't solve double-digit multiplication problems that were on the board? I never could solve those problems. And seventh grade, it wasn't much better. They hired a peer tutor for me, and I was humiliated. It just embarrassed me so much. High school, it wasn't any better, but I liked math, and I just was sort of this persistent type of person that I really wanted to understand math, and I wanted to be a math major in college, which seems kind of ridiculous because I was so bad,
mm-hmm.
but I asked my high school teacher when I was a senior, I said, would you tutor me in math because I have this goal, I want to be a math major in college, and he said, okay. And I took three math classes when I was a senior. One of them was a repeat because I had done so poorly in it. And the other two classes were new classes. So here's what happened. I was being tutored by this math teacher. And I know I was asking him question after question after question. And he just looked at me and threw up his hands and said, you will never amount to anything in math.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Did you ever send him a letter after you became an actuary?
Well, I did. And what I also did was I gave him a copy of my risk theory book, which was all the math, you know, 300 pages of math formulas.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him that as a retirement present. And you want to know what he said?
What did he say?
I had another student come back to me to say that it probably is not a good idea to tell your students that they're that bad at math. I thought, okay, I wasn't the only one. But that, you know what? It's fine. I just didn't believe him. And I went to college. It wasn't much better. I still had a hard time with math, but I was getting through. I had a math professor in college who really believed in me, and he said, you can do this. And I believed him. And I kept working. I kept studying. It was hard and long, and eventually it started to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I got a master's in statistics, and then I started on through this program to be an actuary, and then wrote some books for actuaries. And I think it's because I had struggled so much with math that I knew how to phrase it in such a way that people that were also struggling could understand it.
Well, so. I'll tell you what. I have a total empathy because when I was going to school, I was able to pass math and that type of thing. But I can remember getting into algebra, and I worked for that. But when I got into geometry, it was a disaster. And then I end up taking a class during the summer with a teacher, and I end up getting an A+. Figure that one out. I go back to the same teacher that's teaching geometry, and I flunk the class a second time. So I can totally understand your feeling of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's just a whole level of learning that you have to go through. But what I really, really appreciated, and your DVD shows this, you have youngsters. You're teaching kindergarten. And I get so tired of people having these attitudes with the youngsters that they're not capable of learning things. And the little ones, the love of reading starts when they're in before kindergarten, really. The love of learning is so strong. And, you know, your DVD, you show how you are working with the children, and they're getting exercise, and plus being able to work with the numbers. And they're so attentive. I mean, they're just delightful on this DVD to watch their faces and their enthusiasm.
Right.
How did you come up with your concepts? Because you have this wonderful game that they can play where they can lay it down on the floor, and you call it skip counting.
Yes, that's the hopping mat?
Yes, the hopping mat.
Okay, mm-hmm. So really, I had a total change. Once I had kids, I became very focused on how can I make it so that my kids love math. So really that everything, all the ideas that I've gotten have all come from working with my own children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this book, Multiply With Me, Learning to Multiply Can Be Fun, and it just works beautifully for getting young kids excited about learning math. It's a step-by-step guide for parents. How do you teach your child to multiply? Learning to multiply is like learning to read. It opens the door. Once you can multiply, it's like the key that unlocks the door to future math and fun math, just like
mm-hmm.
reading does. So I got the idea for all these maths from working with my own kids, going into schools, talking with teachers, doing programs in schools, and the mat that you saw in the video, I got the idea because I had another banner and I said, well, you know, when you're skip counting, it's sort of like you're hopping over these numbers. And then it hit me, I thought, hopping over the numbers? Of course. Have a mat where kids are actually physically hopping over numbers. It's beautiful. When the kids see these mats, they get so excited that they can hop on these mats. They think it's so much fun. They will hop on the mats for hours and hours and practice their multiples, practice the skip counting, and never get tired of it. And at the same time, they're learning. They're just absorbing this information. And you're right. Kindergartners are like sponges. It's the perfect age to teach multiples. They think it's so much fun. They get exercise and learn the multiples at the same time.
And with this, and again, for my listeners, I really hope that if you know of anyone that's having challenges with kids in school, especially the younger ones, where they're feeling frustrated because they can't do things, What I like about Susie's program is that it is not just auditory, it's visual, and you're using color, and then there is this movement, the kinesthetic. And so you're doing exercises like, and this is terrific because the kids are getting exercise, and it's sort of like dancing, and they're just aware of it. And you've got other teachers sometimes that are with you, but it's like one little boy in your DVD, he's doing punching movements, and he's doing, yes, you know, 2, 4, 6. And I look at these children, and they're thoroughly concentrating. And I think that's wonderful, especially when you have very active children. Children don't naturally want to sit still when they're little like that. They've just got all this energy. Their bodies demand that they move. So this is a great way to utilize that energy and help them to develop the capacity of focus and concentration. And at the same time, they're having fun and they're learning coordination. I just think this is brilliant. And like when you're bending over and you're going, you know, they touch their right hand to their left foot, that's one. Then they touch their left hand to their right foot, and that's two. And you go up the body, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, for a lot of people, they say, well, what big deal is that? Well, it's captivating their attention. And that is important with little ones because their minds are going 10,000 miles a minute.
Right. Yes, it keeps them focused, and then that's that one-to-one correspondence that kids need to lay the foundation for future success in math.
Absolutely.
It all starts with one-to-one correspondence. As soon as they're solid with that, then they can go into addition and subtraction.
Mm-hmm. And then the teachers, well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll keep a trim waistline, you know, doing this with the kids, because that makes it fun, too, for the teacher. And even if you're doing this every day, you've got enough of these tools. And then you've got sort of like a hopscotch mat working with numbers. And I thought that was very clever, using the colors and the kids lining up on either side of it. Did you use hopscotch as a basis for that? Is that where you got the concept?
Yes, that's where I got the idea for that, right. And also a new mat is coming out, too, that's going to be similar with that, where kids will really do the hopscotch moves, because a kindergarten teacher told me that nowadays kids are having a hard time jumping on one foot, then jumping on two feet,
this
back to forth. It's very interesting that children have certain needs that children 30 years ago did not have, which perhaps could come from the fact that children don't play outside as much as they used to.
Right, very much so.
And also another issue is that parents often don't use money to pay for things. Sometimes they use a credit card or a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
So children are not exposed to money. And also parents often have digital clocks. So trying to teach kids to tell time is also difficult nowadays. So all of these things that I've come up with are, you know, the purpose of them is to help facilitate the process of learning these concepts, which are now more difficult for children than they were 30 years ago.
You bring up some very interesting points, and that is that children typically before, they would go outside. I mean, I can remember my mother saying, don't bother me, go out and entertain yourself.
Right.
And I'd have to do it. But we walked everywhere. And we had monkey bars. We had all kinds of things that we were expected to play. And all of that gives you hand-eye coordination, and all of that goes into the development of the brain.
That's right.
So all of these things, the visual, being able to recognize things, understand what the numbers are. You've made some wonderful points. I would never have thought it was a difficult thing teaching time, but you're correct. It would be when you have things that are digital, and it's a whole different world, and it's come about very rapidly, and it's actually created handicaps for the kids. And I think the kids are getting so much information today. I mean, when I do storytelling and I'm in front of three-year-olds, and I can have an articulate conversation with that three-year-old.
That's right.
And that is telling me you don't talk down to these kids.
That's right.
You just don't do that. And yet people are stuck there. I've got the newspaper article that you sent me where in Newfield that they're showing you standing right alongside your students jumping down the skip counting mat. And it just really, the kids are so enthusiastic and they're
right.
busy and they're talking. I mean, the photo is worth a million words. And I'm sure you've gotten a tremendous response from this, haven't you?
Oh, a tremendous response. And really, it's a very, very new program. And it's already in many schools. And I'm booked for workshops all over the place. I'm going to speak at the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics at their annual conference this April. I also spoke there last April. There's a couple of state organizations that I'm going to speak at this in the next couple of weeks. I have a meeting with I'm in New York State, so I wrote to the governor, and he invited me to come to speak with his education secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I've also written to President Obama, and I'm very much hoping to get a meeting with him, too, because this method, it has the possibility to transform the way children learn math and to facilitate it and to make it, because it's efficient, and kids love it, and they spend the necessary amount of time practicing. Math facts take a lot of time. We can't just expect that children are just going to be able to understand these connections between numbers without lots and lots of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is combine physical exercise, because kids love to be physically active and they
yes.
need to be physically
mm-hmm.
active. So combine it and you get two good things happening with these activities.
Well, not only that, but I think that it helps to deal with the energy situation with the children.
Right.
And you've got the colors in there. So they're able to get down on the floor. Normally boys in classrooms, that it's just what happens with boys. They just have all this energy. And when you have this and you're able to keep them all interactive as you are, it just makes it so much more interesting for them. And then they're going to be able to go on and get involved with algebra. Again, like you said, it's going to be fun. And you start them early. You start
right.
them early with this, and they'll have a love of it. Now, you've got the skipping products. You have training manuals that this comes with. You've got the hopping mats. All of these wonderful things that would be terrific for homeschoolers.
Oh, absolutely. And very soon I'm going to have online training for all of these products, too. And really my dream is that these products will be in libraries. Parents can check them out and bring them home, do the activities, and get on the Internet, get more training for more activities to do, and then bring them back to the library. Because no family needs to have all of this stuff. It's perfect to be shared among the community.
Well, I think that's great. And if you think there are so many people that are doing homeschooling, and
right.
my thought was if there were a couple of families, you know, a couple of moms
that's
that got
right.
together with just to do this, maybe they take turns and the kids,
that's,
you know, go to a different house and say, all right, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to be doing math, you know, this week at Mrs. Jones' house,
mm-hmm.
and you have something, and it provides the variety. As you said, the environment for learning and developing the mental connections and the brain with little people, they're meant to move. They are meant to move. They need to learn how to behave themselves in classes and this type of thing, but they've got so much energy that I think it is inappropriate to expect them to sit for long periods of time. I mean,
that's right.
sort of like a little puppy. You could
right.
say,
and so,
you know,
they can sit and do, you know, do a piece of writing and then do these activities to get rid of some of that energy, but
right.
you're strengthening your math at the same time. Then go back into another hard, you know, focused, concentrated time where you're
mm-hmm.
accomplishing another task. And I want to make another point also, and that is that when children used to play outside, they naturally did cross-body movements.
Yes.
Cross-body movements, if you think of between your, you know, if you take a line from your nose right through your belly button all the way down to your toes, that's the midpoint, midline of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you cross that point of your body with your left or right arm or leg, you are integrating the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. There's
right.
research that is showing that. So naturally, when children play outside and they throw something or they kick a ball or they go ice skating, they do these cross-body movements naturally. However, if children are not playing outside as much, then they need to be encouraged to do these cross-body movements.
Mm-hmm.
And the Math and Movement incorporates in all of the movements these cross-body movements to help integrate the left and the right hemispheres of the brain.
I think that is absolutely imperative. I really, really do. I think that what this also presents is a challenge to the educational system, because once you have children that know their math, then in the first grade, they've got to have better challenges.
That's
and
right.
you don't dumb down to the kids. I don't care what their background is or anything else. When they love to learn, which I've rarely met a child that didn't, but if they enjoy the learning process, that's going to last them through their entire life. But then you have to be able to challenge them in the first grade on. And this is something that could be advanced in different ways that I think would just be great. But to get a child in kindergarten so that they're able to read their numbers, work with their numbers, know the multiplication, all of this, and you get them into addition and subtraction, my goodness, they go into school and they're ready to really move forward. Now, let's talk about another level, because I have a passion for reading. And
okay.
it is, I read 400 to 600 books a year because of this show.
Wonderful.
And this has been my passion since I was a little girl. Don't ask me why, it always has been. So it's something that I prefer over just about anything else. That's why I'm good at what I do. But I feel so sad for so many people, especially children, that do not understand how valuable and how enjoyable reading is. And in our schools today, this is something that just, it's a sad statement. It really is. Their reading skills are so mediocre, and by the time they get out of high school, it is pathetic.
I have great news, Donna.
What's that?
I'm branched into literacy also. I have new mats coming out that are going to help kids learn how to read and practice it, because they think it's so much fun to practice on these
oh,
mats.
Oh, terrific. Well, if it's anything like your math, I mean, I'd love to see it. I just think that's marvelous, because the love of learning has to be something, and I say has to be, because I've known youngsters that they just had a passion maybe for cars or whatever, and if they don't get the good basics, they're not going to be able, as adults, to be able to really function in life.
That's
and not everybody's meant for college, but they are meant to be the best they possibly can be.
That's right.
So if they're going to be a plumber, they have to know how to add, subtract, and multiply. They need to get past certain things. And this is just invaluable. Now let's go into spelling.
Yes.
Because your book, I think, is just charming. And this is for little people now. This is for
yes.
your little ones in kindergarten. And I'll tell you what, children can start to read at the age of 3. Now some people are going to hear me say that. They're going to go, Donna, really? Isn't that a bit much? No. I am telling you. Children can learn to start to read, can learn their numbers at 3 and 4, and, you know, it's just, it's there. They've got the brain power. And I think, again, with the exercise, like you've got with the color and the numbers and everything, that's great. But now let's talk about spelling. And your book, I think, is wonderful because it incorporates the visual, the eye-hand coordination, because they're learning to write. But also, you're encouraging them to draw. For example, the word bat, B-A-T. You have this laid out so beautifully, and you've got pictures of bats. And so then the children can draw on this. I think this is a marvelous, marvelous tool.
Oh, thank you. And I really have to give credit to my mom, who is a retired reading specialist.
Ah.
he gave me the idea for how to have a book like this. And I use this with my daughter, the same technique. When she was in third grade, she was having such a hard time with the spelling. And we used this technique for about a week. And boy, did she master. So all of a sudden, she just clicked. And all then she was able to get hundreds on all her spelling tests. But before that, she had so much trouble. So it's
well,
really...
We all learn differently. And again, some of us can hear things, but I know I'm a very visual person. And auditory comes in, but it's like visual is more important. And this book works on multiple levels. And if you had crayons with a child where they could use, again, I'm a big one on color too, where they could draw the animals and you've got all of these illustrations here. But what I like, and for those of you listening, the book for spelling for the little ones, it's like the one for owl. You have a picture of an owl, and then you have three lines, and on two of the lines, two of the letters. And she's got one, two, three, four, five, six line segments. And so you'll have one that has a blank line, a blank portion of a line, and then you have WL. So then the child sees the O's and can see the full word up above, and then they put in the O. So you can use this as a standard for any word that you're wanting to teach.
That's right.
And I think this is terrific.
That's right. It's and it's perfect for bringing on vacation or going to a restaurant, something to do to, you know, when you're looking for your, something for your child to do for 15 or 20 minutes while you're waiting.
Right, and when you're traveling, right, this is terrific to take with them. And a parent could make up their own if they wanted to, just using your format here.
That's right.
And I think that this is wonderful because, again, children are far more aware and they need to know that they can express themselves. And when they do it, then they get excited. And it teaches them with the drawing. Again, it's the hand-eye-brain coordination that's going on with these visuals, with all of these different components. And have you considered doing a computer program that would...
That's a great idea. Actually, I have not, but I really like that idea. And it could generate, you type in the word, and it generates the worksheet.
Well, I was thinking of another aspect. And that is where they would have to use, let's say, a pen. You know how when you go into the bank and you want to draw money out of your account, they have these little things, these little screens. You have to sign the screen.
Oh, yes.
All right. So if the children had something like this, they could still do the writing because that muscle coordination, making all the messages go up to the brain. And it's just a thought I had. I just think it would be wonderful, and it would even be fun making them do it with their left hand, or, you know, if they're right-handed, make it also do it with their left hand. If they're left-handed, making them do it with the right hand, so that you do have that right brain, left brain connection. It's an amazing, amazing program that you have put together here. And I just know you're going to have incredible success with it. There's also a sit-down math activity guide that involves tapping at a table. I'm going back to the math. So, Susie, you have a website that people can go to. What is that website? Because it is just marvelous what you've got here for kids.
Okay, so the website is Math, M-A-T-H, and all spelled out, A-N-D, Movement, M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T, .com.
Mathandmovement.com. If you even knew of an adult that was having some reading problems, what she has got here is something that can empower anyone. But with the little people, I'm telling you, if you're a homeschooler, you just want to know about this and pass the word because it could be used in your own local school and it would just help parents tremendously. Moms and dads wouldn't be pulling their hair out. They'd actually enjoy the interaction with their children, and I think the kids just do nothing but benefit from it. Susie, this has just been a delight having you as a guest today.
Thank you.
And your website again is math and that's spelled out, andmovement.com. Much success to you. This is Donna Sabo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Susie as much as I did, and I'm really sincere. I get excited because I love to see children enjoy learning. And having gone through processes myself when I was in school where I loved to learn and then I would encounter teachers that just didn't want to be in the classroom. They were just burned out. They just didn't like their subject, I mean, or whatever. And it's so important to bring that joy of learning. So if you're a parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, you got some friends that have kids that are having challenges, you need to do that. And I would, again, encourage you to go to mathandmovement.com. Check it out because it's going to be worth it. I know we've got a caller on the line. Before we go to that caller, though, I want you to know that you can call in and chat with me today if you'd like also. Here's the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. And remember, when you call in, all I want from you is your first name or your initial, and then also I like to know where you're calling from. Let's show you how it's done. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Initial G from Seattle, Washington.
From Seattle. Hey, it's dripping over in your neighborhood too, isn't it? Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Hun. Terrific. Well, gee, I'm so glad you were able to call in. All right, first thing that I'm looking at with you is there is, I'm getting first the word patience. Your organizational plan is going to turn out, or I should say the plan for organization. Let me shift my words around. The plan for organized activity is going to pay off for you, but you need to be a little bit flexible. You may find that the plans that you've laid out, it may take you longer to get to where you want to go. Let me use a ridiculous example. A ridiculous example is, gee whiz, you want to lose 10 pounds in 1 month, and you find that you're going to meetings every other day, and you go, gee whiz, I've only lost 5. So maybe it takes you another month to lose the other 5 pounds. You get my point? It's just one of these things that you're organized, you're planning, you are very efficient. I mean, when you set your mind to task, that's it. You just are clear cut, you're razor sharp, you're really there, and you just have it all together, and you just go, why isn't it coming together here the way it's supposed to? Remember, when you put a batter for cake together in a pan, you have to let it cook. If you take it out too soon, it's not going to be solidly cooked all the way through the way it should be. If it's overcooked, it's too much. So it's a balancing act, and you just need to be aware. You need to know how to test, just like you would with a cake, test to see if you need to invest a little bit more time, effort, and energy, and don't get frustrated if it takes you longer than you anticipate. You are not failing. You're not doing anything wrong. It's just the way life is sometimes. I mean, they may have it on a television show that you can add water, mix, and have everything together in 30 seconds, but it doesn't work very well in real life. But you are such an intense, hard-working person that you beat yourself up, and I don't want you to do this. And it's the same thing in your associations with people. You need to understand that you are growing as a woman, as an individual, and you are learning how to read people more effectively. And you're learning to be patient. Again, there's the magic word, the big P. You need to be patient so that you find out the information you need to know. You're on course. You're not off course, my dear. You're going to do just fine. But stop beating up on yourself. Get involved in a dance class. Do art. I don't care. Go sing somewhere. Whatever it is that you want to do, lighten up, because you really are hard on yourself, and that's not necessary. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head, because I am looking for a change in career or job, and it has not happening, and I'm getting a little impatient.
Of course. Don't get impatient. What kind of work are you looking for?
Office cloud computing.
Okay. Let me make a suggestion to you. Why don't you look at arenas of industry that you might want to explore? For example, maybe you've always had an interest in healthcare products. Maybe you have had an interest in clothing design. So you look in the yellow pages for all the companies that are involved in health products, and you just give them a call and say, I'm a person, I have these skills, and I'm really looking to find a position within this industry because it is so fascinating to me. Is what would you recommend that I do? Talking to a human resources person. Now, the worst case scenario is someone said, gee whiz, we never get anybody calling to ask a question like that. But there are many levels of industry that you have not even considered approaching that could use your skills. That is what I think can enable you to feel a little bit more relaxed about this. It's sort of like someone that I knew that wanted to work for Microsoft. Now, the Microsoft is the big M, and of course it's a fabulous company, but they were downsizing. So they weren't going to be ready to hire this person. They weren't going to be interested in hiring this person. So this individual got stuck on just being, I want to go this direction. I said, well, go to work for a smaller company. Go ahead and put yourself into an environment that's going to enable you to hone certain skills that you maybe don't have at this time. So this person ended up going to work for a smaller company. And they had to learn how to deal with management. They had to learn how to deal with various systems that this small business had. And they were paid well. And they just said, my goodness, what I've learned at working for this little company has just been amazing. So they had to wear a lot of hats. And eventually, they were able to work their way up into a positioning. And they said, this is one of the best things I ever did. So it's a different way of thinking. Am I making sense?
Yes, Yes, you are. But do you see that I'm going to be able to do that? I mean, get another job soon.
Oh, yes, you can. But and I'm looking at the number 3. So I don't know if it's 3 weeks or 3 months. What I want you to do is to just shift your thinking a little bit. You're working currently. Bless the job that you have. Be grateful for it and say, I'm looking for opportunity. And just know that it's going to be there. We are in times where a lot of businesses are afraid. They are concerned about the economy. Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's been really tough because a lot of jobs for Boeing are going to another state. So there are many, many things that are shifting. And it's scary to people because everything ripples down below. When one person loses a job, another 10 people are affected, and if not more. So this is something in the state of Washington that's affecting everyone on a level. But it is up to you to not get stuck in the fear and not get discouraged, but ask yourself, what other arenas of industry could I approach that could use my skills? And don't be afraid of small businesses.
Okay.
All right, my dear.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome, and I'm delighted that you called in. By the way, though that you're in the Seattle area, I'm going to be doing an appearance in Tacoma on the 21st of November, which is a Saturday, and I'm going to be appearing in costume at the King Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. And I'll be doing many sessions for people there. There's a small fee, and part of that is going to be going towards a charity that the organization that's doing the Dickens Festival is going to be supporting. So if you or friends want to come on down, we'd love to see you. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we're going to be taking a break in just a moment, but if you want to call and chat with me today, 888-815-9756. And for those of you who are listening in Western Washington, just know, again, I'll be at the King's Bookstore from 11 until 4 on November the 21st. And this is a marvelous event for the family. Go and check out DickensFestival.net, and you'll get all of the details about everything that will be going on. And I know it's just a lot of fun. So no matter where you are in Western Washington, come on down because it is just perfect. Get you in the feel. Just get you ready for the holidays. It's just absolutely wonderful. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me. Now, tomorrow we are going to be talking about to be or not to be healthy. My goodness, with the way things are, we want to stay healthy, right? Well, Miles J. Schneider is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about various suggestions that he has, and I think you will enjoy it. And then next week, oh, have we got a lineup. We're going to be talking turkey on Monday with one of my favorite people, Leo Pearlstein. He's been associated with the turkey industry for years, and we're going to be talking scrumptious recipes, little odds and ends of Hollywood trivia, because he's been very much involved with that world for so many, many years. And then we're going to be talking on Tuesday about bargains. Uh-huh. Do you have a friend that just loves to go to garage sales? Well, if you are one of those that is a bargain junkie, that is a person that you are going to really enjoy, Annie Corzin, and she is a hoot. I just thoroughly enjoy Annie, so we're going to be talking about how you can save money. Believe me, this lady knows how to shop and not spend any more money than necessary. Also, we're going to be talking about the other kind of smart on Wednesday of next week, and you'll have to tune in to find out what that is. And then Teresa Tapp is going to be with us on Thursday. Wow, we're going to be finding out how we can stay fit and fabulous. Just 15 minutes for the holiday season. You don't have to have a 500-inch waistline by the time the holidays are over. No. And then how to communicate with Alzheimer's. I've had so many families that I've interacted with as a counselor and also on a personal level that have been dealing with this issue. So we have got a wonderful, wonderful group of people next week, and I invite you to join me tell your friends, and we'll just share all the information we can with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, though. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. All I need is your first name or your initial, and then I also like to know where you're calling from. Then I'll tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Well, I don't know about you, but I always am of a mindset that I want to look for bargains. Well, do you know that there are particular days of the week that really seem to offer certain bargain specials? I hadn't paid too much attention to it, but on Mondays, that is when people in restaurants really offer beginning of the week specials. Sometimes it's two for one's promotions. Why? So many times they get such a rush of people on the weekend because a lot of people have that time off. So they go out, they go to eat, and they're packed. Mondays are slow days. So there may be special coupons and you could go out on a Monday. That would save you money, especially if it's two for one. Now what about Tuesdays? Check out your salons and your spas to see if they offer special days. Now, some of the most common promotions that spas and salons offer are for first-time customers or services maybe for staff that is in training. Ask about this. If you decide you want to make an appointment, find out if they have any days during the week where there are certain specials, and they might be more than happy to give you a special deal on their slow days. Also, Wednesdays, if you're in a position to do this, going to museums, amusement parks, and theaters, often special discounts are offered on Wednesdays because that's really a down day of the week for them. Also, there are cultural institutions that offer free admission. And if you'll check in your local area, whatever museums may be around, give them a call and ask them if they have any free days. I know we have in our community museums that the first Thursday of the month, it's free. So sometimes if we've had guests in and they're here on a first Thursday, we'll take them to these places where the admission, you know, they get in and it's a time, it's not busy. So it's just absolutely wonderful. And on Thursdays, clothing. This I did not know. Clothing retailers may officially start their sales on Friday, but they do all the prep work on Thursday. So if you go in shopping the Thursday evening before the sale, you might be able to get your own special pre-sale markdowns. They will give it to you. Do you know what I have been finding when I've been going to certain stores? That maybe they have a sales sign up and they've got another sales promotion. And I was in a store a week ago and I was getting some things and I was putting them on layaway. And the sales girl, I said, well, she gave me a certain sum. And I said, well, is that what's out here on sale? And she went out on the floor. She said, oh, my goodness, they have a different sales sign up, because she had rung the stuff up on the register, and she found that it was a different amount. She said, let me look at this. Let me see which one is going to give you the better deal. So as it turned out, she told her supervisor, she said, they didn't take down the old signs. There's a new sale going on, and the new sale is offering you an even bigger discount. Great employee. They have somebody that's pretty special. She even was so efficient that she told me how much more I saved. It was just great. So be aware. And if you go to a store regularly and you get to know the sales staff, often they will call you if there's something special going on, because they need to make the sales, especially if they're working on commission. So just keep on that. And on Fridays, well, this is about gasoline. Apparently, gas prices go up just in time for weekend travel and when people are going to be out doing a lot of errands. Let's say it's because of the increased demand. But if you pump up first thing on Friday morning, they will not go into effect until 11 a.m. or noon on that Friday. So just be aware, the early bird is going to be able to save at the gas pump. Just a bunch of thoughts to share with you there. Thought you might enjoy that. Then I wanted to also share with you today, and if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. There is such a need. If you have mature members in your family and they have stories to tell, to be able to record them. I have a very good friend whose grandmother was in her 90s. And she said, I made a point of taking time and I did a video of her. And it wasn't with our modern day video equipment that we have. But she sat and asked her questions. And her grandmother was telling her about all kinds of things that went on when she was growing up. And I was invited to watch the video and to watch this lady tell her stories. And there was nothing fancy. This was just in a living room somewhere. But the story of the way she lived, what it was like being on a farm, how they had to do things, what it was like in school, how a child died from diphtheria, and there was scarlet fever, and the different things that they had to go through. My friend captured in that video history. Her grandmother has since passed away. But she was able to convert that onto a DVD, and she has shared it with other members in the family. And she said, I didn't know whether they would find it interesting or not, but she said, my grandmother was such a special person in my life, and I wanted to record her stories because what she had in her life, I was never going to experience in mine. And my friend now has two grandbabies of her own. And so this is something she's going to be able to pass along in her family so that they will know about their great-great-grandmother. Fascinating stuff. I think we need to remember those who are mature in the family and realize that their stories and their experiences are unique to them. If you have a veteran in the family, take time to talk with them and record. You can put it on an audio file if you want. If you can videotape it, that's wonderful too. But do take the time to record it, because their history will never be your history, and you may learn something from it. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. I'm so delighted that we've been able to share this hour together. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are an individual. Your mind belongs to you, not to anybody else. So nourish it. Educate yourself. Read. Appreciate life. There is so much to enjoy, and you never know it all. And isn't that a good thing? Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. Donna, I is here. I will say goodbye to you, but we'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.